Turn your Bibles, please, tonight to Habakkuk chapter number 2. Habakkuk chapter number 2. Give you time to find that. One of the minor prophets, not minor in what he has to say, just a shorter book. Habakkuk chapter number 2. Won't you stand, please, while I read the Word of God. We'll start reading at verse number 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now we'll back up in a few minutes in chapter 1 and see what he's talking about here. But he said, God's got it under control. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. In other words, get it out, get it to others. For the vision is yet for a appointed time, but at the end shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now I want you to hear, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, we can come together, enjoy the singing of the choir and special singing. And Lord, it's a joy to open the Word of God and read. And I pray tonight that you'd help us, God, as we think about the coming of the Lord Jesus, that we may ever be alert and looking for him to appear, that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for those that need a special prayer tonight, those of our midst that are in situations that they really need your help. I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you hear and answer prayer, magnify yourself and get glory. I pray tonight for those who are away. I ask you to help Brother Jimmy Cox. I ask you to pray for him. I pray for Brother Tom away and ask you to help him. And then, Lord, I pray you'd help others, God, that's out of our midst in their way serving you. I ask you to help them. Then, Father, we praise you tonight for a good report of what's been going on other meetings. But we pray tonight now you'd help us here preach the Word of God. We need you, Lord. I ask you in Jesus' name for that divine touch. Illuminate our minds. Help us think and say what needs to be said. We'll praise you and thank you. I ask you to rebuke the devil and give us liberty. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now hear what Habakkuk's name means wrestler. And he's wrestling with some things in this book that we sometimes see and also wrestle with. But I want you to look at verse number 12 in chapter 1. Verse number 12, chapter number 1. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast named them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? And here he's wrestling with the fact that God is allowing others to come in, take their country, more wicked than they are, what God is using for correction in them. Then he says in chapter 2, he says, I'm going to set my watch and I'm going to set on the tower and I'm going to watch. And said, then when I am reproved, he knew that God would have an answer for him and God would come by and reproof would come. And then a vision they would have of the end time, verse 14, and the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. And so he's looking forward to the very end of it all and millennium when knowledge of God will cover the earth as waters that cover the sea. He was excited about that. He was stirred up about that and praising God. But yet at the same time, he's wrestling with truths about God's judgment and God dealing with things. Let me say this tonight. Now, here's not where I'm going, but let me just plug it in right here. God does judge sin. And sin never gets, you never get by with sin. I preached here a few weeks ago about hidden sin and trying to cover up sin, just trying to get by with sin. And that never works. Be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible says, so we have to be alert to the fact that God's word's truth. And then when God sends judgment, however he sends that, and what he allows to happen is right, no matter what it is. God does right. God has never been wrong in anything that he does. And she sang that song a while ago and talking about what God has done before, he can do again. And God, if you read the scriptures, you'll find that God's never allowed these people to go away from him, but what he did not chastise them to bring them back. And so today in our modern age, we need to think that we're any different than what it has been in the past. God's still the same holy God as he's always been. And he will do what he said he'd do, so judgment. Now here, Rebekah dealing with that. And verse number 4, he said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Trying to send those that try to justify themselves. But the just shall live by his faith. And here he said we need to faith it out. We believe God by faith and trust God for it. I want to try to pick up on that subject tonight. The just shall live by faith. And pray that God would help us. And there's three books in the New Testament that deal with each phrase of that verse. The just, book of Romans, shall live in the book of Galatians, and by faith in Hebrews. And so we'll look at those tonight quickly, try to. And I say quickly, we'll try to look at them as God helps us and lets us do so. But I want you to turn in the book of Romans, if you would please, in chapter 1, verse 17. Chapter 1, verse number 17. In the book of Romans. Here we're talking about the just. He said the just shall live by faith. He's saying, what he's saying is in chapter 1, I don't understand what's going on. I don't really understand those people that's worse than we are coming in and taking us over. I don't understand God allowing judgment to come like that. He's wrestling with those truths. And then he's going to set his tower and watch and say, no, God's going to approve me. But then he comes to verse 4 and makes that great statement that the just shall live by faith. How wonderful it is to know. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in my life, we can still trust God that he'll do what's right and trust him to handle the situation. He handles every situation anyhow. He'll take care of it and he'll do what's right, and we need to trust him and believe him. And I'm not in any way questioning that song that she sung first. It's a good song, great song. What he'd done before, he can do it again. Amen. I know what the writer had in mind in that, and I say amen to all of it. I love the song. I love to hear it sung. But let me say to you tonight, if God has something he wants to do he's never done before, and it's right and is with his holiness, he can do that too. Amen. God, Jesus has never come in the air and taken out the church, but I preach this morning, he's going to do it. Amen. He's going to do it. Now, he did take Enoch out and type and picture of it in the past. What he's done in the past, he can still do now. He's going to come and get us. Amen. I'm still looking for him to come. Amen. And I believe all my heart, Jesus Christ shall come again. But right now, we're thinking about the just shall live. But until he comes, he said, occupy till I come. Stay busy about my business till I get back. And so what we're doing tonight is thinking about how we're going to live now. I preach this morning on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and why we should be concerned about the second coming, and we should be. And so I pray that God would help us now as we think about the just shall live by faith. And now while we wait for his coming, we just want to live by faith and trust him. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Let's talk about the person of this first of all, the people that are justified and who does the justifying? And we'll look at both of those, and I'll give you some verses out of the book of Romans. Turn to chapter 3, chapter number 3 of the book of Romans, and let me just give you a few verses here, give you five things quickly about this, and then we'll move on out of the book of Galatians. But let me say to you tonight, I'm glad I'm one of the justified ones. Amen. I stand justified in Christ Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. Look at verse number 26 of chapter 3. Here's talking about, he said, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, not ours, but his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now I want to park right there and say, hallelujah. Amen. He's just and he's a justifier of them that believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus Christ, so therefore I'm justified. That word justified means just as though I never had sinned. I mean to tell you tonight that my standing before God is right because I'm justified in Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. I'm not depending on my righteousness. And if I had to, I'd be in an awful mess. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But I'm depending on what Jesus did for me at Calvary and his righteousness. He was holy in every way. He never sinned, never thought a wrong thought, never did anything wrong. I mean, he absolutely is right in everything. Went to the cross of Calvary and paid my price. He identified as me for me and died and rose again. And now he justified me. He said to declare. And I declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. See, God's holy and righteous, and to justify man, he had to do something that he could still be just and justify man. Jesus was the only answer there was to it. And so Jesus came and died, and so he was just that I might be justified through him by him. Now I want you to look at the principle that works in this. Look in verse number 3, chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here it said by his grace. The principle is grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is when you get what you do not deserve. And mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. Amen. We do deserve hell, but we get mercy and don't go there. And we get grace, and that takes us to heaven. And by grace, and that's what he said here, being justified freely by his grace. I did not deserve to be justified. I do not deserve to be justified, but by the grace of God, I am justified. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for that. The just shall live by faith. Now, we're the just. I want to show you something in chapter 5, verse number 1. And here we see the practical part. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very practical faith, believing God, trusting what Jesus did at Calvary, and he does that. I want to show you the power of it. Look in verse number 9, chapter 5. Much more. Then being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified by his blood. That's a power that we're justified in. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love those songs that sing about the blood. I like to think about the blood. I like to preach about the blood. I can tell you tonight, there's power in the blood. And I'm glad for that blood. Amen. And I've mentioned the Passover, and I've mentioned it many times, but there's something about that story that captivates me. The Lord said, when I see the blood on the doorpost, said, I'll pass over you. The death won't come in. And I'm glad the blood's been applied at the doorpost in the middle of my life. I'm under the blood. That's the power. I've been washed in the blood. And thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, there's power in the blood. That's the power of my justification. You say, preacher, how in the world can you be justified? Because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed for my sin. I'm justified. Let me show you something else, how I'm sure about it. Look in chapter 4, verse number 25. Here you find the promise of it or the surety of it. Who was delivered for our offenses and that was raised again for our justification. Amen. How you know you're justified? Because Jesus got up. Amen. Buddha didn't get up. And Confucius didn't get up.
and the other crowd didn't get up. Muhammad didn't get up, but Jesus got up, and he lives, and therefore I know I'm justified. I have assurance I'm justified. I know I'm justified. How you know? Because the power of the blood of Jesus washed me clean, and I'm clean in the blood, and I know I'm justified because Jesus got up from the dead and walked out victorious. The grace of God worked, and I believed it, and thank God he's just, and I'm justified. I say hallelujah tonight. Are you justified tonight? Are you glad you're justified in Christ Jesus our Lord, our Savior? Praise God. You say, preacher, you don't look like you're justified. You're looking from the wrong angle. You ought to see me like God sees me. He sees me in Christ. I'm hid in Christ. I made seated together with Christ. And therefore, when God sees me, he sees me through the blood and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And says he's okay. The righteousness of my son sets him free. He's been justified as though he never had sinned. As far as God's concerned, he don't even remember my sin. Amen. The devil brings it up, and God says, what sins are you talking about? That sin's already been handled, taken care of. It's been crucified, buried, rose from the dead. It's under the blood. I say tonight, thank God. It's real to be justified in Jesus our Lord and our Savior. Praise God and the Lamb forever. I'm glad tonight I'm justified. Justified. You say, preacher, justified. How can I be justified? By believing in Jesus. How can you be justified? By the grace of God through faith in Jesus our Lord and our Savior. Are you saved tonight? Are you justified? Now let's notice that shall live. Look with me in the book of Galatians. Chapter 3 and verse number 11. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Here's what he said. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Now, let me talk about experience here a little bit. In verse number, let's back up to verse 10 in this chapter and read that. And some verses following. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curses everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you break one law, you're a lawbreaker. Amen. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. And I want to stop right there and say, by experience, you're saying here, the law, nobody can, if they live in the law, they got to do the law. I hear people tell me, I've asked them about being saved. Well, I keep the law. Don't do it. You can't keep the law. Amen. You say, preacher, how do you know I can't? Because God said you couldn't. Amen. And I'll get to that in just a moment, but if you could keep the law, you'd love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, everything that you are, and you'd always be thinking about God, and you'd be so holy that you couldn't even walk through the world down here, because that wouldn't work. And then the Bible says, keep a Sabbath day, and he talks about not stealing, not coveting, doing all those kind of things. And ain't not one of us sometimes don't covet. Hey, not any of us somewhere don't get guilty of some of this. And I look at chapter 3, verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you from, you should not obey the truth, for whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth crucified among you. He said, now I preach to you Jesus being crucified. And I read out Romans chapter 3 a while ago about him being just and a justifier of them which believeth in Jesus. Here he said, who's bewitched you? Who's telling you that you have to work to be saved? And those today say that you have to work. Now, I grant you the Bible does say that because we are saved, we ought to have good works. That's right, but that's not for salvation. Has nothing to do with salvation. The just shall live. Now, I want you to know it's by faith. It's not by works of the law that we live. And we're a bunch of failures anyhow. Amen. There's not a one of us hadn't sinned to come short of the glory of God. Not a one of us. And no one could keep a law and be saved. That's just an impossibility. Paul said then to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, I believe. He said, God forbid I glory save in the cross. I want to glory in the cross of Calvary. I thank God for the cross where Jesus died for my sin and paid my sin debt. I praise him and thank him for it. Look in verse number 8. Of chapter 3. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham. He said he preached the gospel to Abraham because he's going to justify the heathen. Said through him all nations be blessed. In other words, there'd be a Messiah come through Abraham. He said now Abraham's a father of faith. Now let's just hang on with me. Turn with me in Hebrews. I'm not ready to go to the book of Hebrews, but I'm going to give you 3 verses out of it. Hebrews chapter 11, and let's look at verse number 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Here he's saying that Abraham, by faith, he went out not knowing where he's going, and said he went out and said he went home. And then he starts talking about Sarah conceiving and Abraham. And Romans chapter 4, verse 20. And here he's talking about Abraham when he come to that place of, he's going to be a daddy. God said you're going to have a son. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Hallelujah. And said that, declaring unto him, imputed unto him for righteousness. I'm saying to you tonight, praise God. He didn't stagger the promise of God. God said he's going to be a daddy. He's about 100 years old, Sarah about 90, and said you're going to be a daddy. And he staggered not the promise of God, but was strong in faith. And Abraham did that. Hey, he didn't have a son because he was doing something in the works himself. Had a son because God promised him a son. And that promised son came by divine promise. And came, amen. And I want you to know you're not justified by your works. It's by the promise of God you get justified and right with God. Well, what's the law all about, preacher? I'm glad you asked. I wanted to tell you. Amen. And show you here of Abraham's example of that faith. But now I want to show you the explanation of that law. Look in verse 16, chapter 2, book of Galatians. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? Now look in chapter number 4 and verse 22. Chapter 3 rather, verse 22 of Galatians. But the scripture have concluded all under sin that promised by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now I'm going to give you a couple of verses out of Romans chapter number 5 and verse number, well, let me see where I am. Verse 20. And chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And I love this. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. Look in chapter 7, verse 7, the book of Romans. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And so he's saying we had to have the law. Law came. What the law did was show us how sinful we really are, but didn't have the answer. All the sacrifices just pointing to the answer that would come. and God made a way for those in the Old Testament to look forward to the cross. We look back to the cross, but the law didn't say. Law couldn't save man. Man couldn't keep a law. Somebody mentioned to me this morning about a certain thing. And in fact, it's today twice I've been confronted, last night and today, been confronted with two different things about salvation and about could they do this and be saved. And be saved. Let me say this to you. You're not saved by works. You don't lose it by works. You're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And if you couldn't save yourself, I want to tell you a little secret. You can't keep yourself. You are kept by the power of God. If God doesn't keep you, hey, if I wasn't kept by the power of God, I'd be lost before I got to the house tonight. Amen, so would you. And you say, well, preacher, are you that mean? No, but those thoughts come through. And the foolish thoughts sin, that means I sin. And then that means I'd be lost and I'd lose it. Well, preacher, you wouldn't lose it over that little sin. Well, you tell me what sin I would lose it over. If you don't lose it over thinking the wrong thought, what is it? Why? You have to get drunk once or twice. How many times you have to cuss to get lost? How many times you... Well, preacher, you saying it's all right to cuss or drink? No, I'm not saying that's all right. I'm just telling you I'm not saved because I don't drink liquor. I'm not saved because I don't cuss. I'm saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God in the Lamb. That made me want to take a running fit. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, don't have to keep myself safe. He keeps me by his power. Amen. The just shall live. I'm glad I'm a living tonight. Amen. I'm not in bondage. I'm not sitting somewhere thinking, well, oh me, am I going to make it? Am I going to lose it? Will I get there? Am I will somehow? What's going to happen to me? I may mess up in the end. Oh, what's going to happen? No, no, no. God save me by his marvelous grace. Justify me. Put me in. Thank God. I'm hid in Christ Jesus. And the devil, I can't tell you the whole story, we're on the internet, but anyway, this fella, he was looking and talking about this thing, and he said, the devil been looking for me ever since I said I'm in Christ, and he had something, I don't know what he had, I'll take my answer. Said, that's me, said, I'm in Christ, Holy Ghost sealed me in there, and said, the devil been running around and saying, where did he go? Where did he go? Hey man, where did he go? Where did he go? I'm hid in Christ. Where did he go? I'm in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God and the Lamb forever. And the devil can't do a thing about my salvation. That's settled forever and forever. You say, preacher, y'all for sure of that? I sure am, because I'm sure of the Word of God. I'm sure of my Savior that died for me. Amen. If he loses me, he's lost. The devil have to be stronger than he is. The devil have to defeat Jesus and tear him down his throne and take him away. And he'd be in charge of everything. We'd all be doomed and damned and lost. If Jesus lost one of us, then he'd be defeated. But Jesus is not defeated. He's a victor. Thank God for the victor that comes from Calvary. Amen. I praise God and thank God for it. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. Praise his holy name. But let's get to the principle. The principle of all this. Here we are. The procedure we've been talking about in Live Shall Live. And we've been talking about saved by the person. I want to show you a principle here. Hebrews. Look in Hebrews. Chapter 10, verse 38. Let's back up 37. I just want to get that verse. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. I just want to plug that in for this morning. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. He said, we're saved. We believe to the saving of the soul. We're not going to draw back. I quote Brother Billy Mitchell because he says some things that just stick in your mind. You can't help but remember them. And one of them is, you know you're repenting because you keep on repenting. And let me say this, you know you believe because you keep on believing. Amen. 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 And that's what he's saying in that verse. We're not them that draw back unto perdition. We are those who have believed to the saving of the soul. Amen. Hey, people make professions, but they don't get to the place where they fully trust Jesus for their salvation. They just get to the edge of it. They don't make a step of faith and believe that they are saved. You can't really have assurance of salvation until you believe that you are saved. I can read you every verse in Scripture. I can tell you everything and read you about, quote it to you, and tell you this about believing in Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He said, whosoever would come, he'd save him. It was not his will. I read this morning out of 2 Peter 3. Not his will, any should perish. All should come to repentance. And Titus 1, 2, and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. But until you believe you're saved, you're still not going to be saved. Hey, I can tell you about the blood that was shed, the life that was given, all that he did for us. But until you make a step of faith and believe that you're saved, you'll never be saved. I remember Mr. Stamper. I can't remember his first name, but the last name was Stamper down in Irwin, Tennessee. I used to visit him, try to get him saved. I'd visit him over and over. He had a son killed back years ago, and somehow that stuck in his heart, and he couldn't get over it. And he wouldn't get saved. He'd find man as far as man was concerned, but couldn't get him to come to church, couldn't get him saved. And somehow God burdened my heart for him. I couldn't get away from it. I kept trying to get him, trying to get him. And finally one night I got in his home. I said, we talked about it. I said, I want you to get saved. He said, preacher, I'll pray with you. And I said, well, here, let's pray. I showed him the scripture and we asked God to save me. Asked God to save me. I said, are you saved? He said, I don't know. I went through it all again, and I said, let's pray. He prayed again. I said, Mr. Stamper, are you saved? He said, I don't know. And we went through that, I believe, 3 or 4 times. And finally, I turned to Titus 1, 2, and said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I said, Brother Stamper, Mr. Stamper, I call him Mr. then. I said, can God lie? He said, no, sir. And I said, if God can't lie, and God said he'd save you. And God promised to save you. And you asked God to save you. Do you really believe Jesus died for you? He said, yes, sir. I said, do you really believe he rose from the dead? He said, yes, sir. Do you really believe he'll save you? He said, yes, sir. I said, why don't we thank God for doing it? He started praying, saying, thank you, Lord, for saving me. I started praying. He hadn't wept a tear for 20-some years. He looked up at me, tears running down his face. He said, preacher, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I said, hallelujah. How did he know he's saved? Because he made a step of faith and believed that he was saved. And God saved him by his marvelous grace. Amen. When did he get saved? When he believed him. When he thanked him for it. Amen. You can ask him and ask him and ask him. I don't mean he saved you. Oh, you got to believe that you're saved. I'm glad I believe I'm saved. Made a step of faith. By faith. The just shall live by faith. But let me take this another step, Father. As you think about faith now, faith always brings forth action. You know why Abel offered blood sacrifice and not do like Cain bring food to the ground? Because he believed what God said. I believe God had taught Adam and Eve about blood sacrifice when he killed the animal and made coats for them instead of the fig leaves. He taught them about the blood. And so Abel believed that. And when it came time to make sacrifice, he brought the blood. Now, believing God to bring forth the right kind of action. Noah believed God. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house because he believed God. He believed what God said, acted on it, and did that. Abraham believed what God said, left the country of his homeland, and went to a strange country and never been before. Went and made that his home where had never been home before. And went and did what God said. And then by faith he stayed there. And then he did what God said and had a son. And then he took a son up to offer him as a sacrifice. If you read later in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find that Abraham believed that God would raise him from the dead. And a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, you know the story how God stopped him from slaying his son, but he was going to obey God. How did he do that? By faith. Fact is, Abraham, before he went up on the mount to offer his son, he told the ones keeping the donkeys down there at the foot of the mount, he said, y'all stay here and wait here. I and the lad go yonder and worship and we'll come again. Hallelujah. He said, we're coming back. He believed God would raise him from the dead and bring him back. He believed God. He believed God. But let me say to you tonight, not only believing God in salvation, continuing on and doing what God has to do. But God, just believe God in whatever circumstance you find yourself in. Because our God is able to help you no matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't make any difference. You say, preacher, you don't know my situation. I don't. I really don't. But God does. I'm in a situation where nobody can help me. God can. God can. Preacher, I got somebody I really want to see get saved, and I can't do anything with them. God can. God can. Preacher, I got a situation that my life's messed up, and I can't get it straight. God can. God can. Preacher, I want to serve God, and I want to do something for God, but I can't do anything. But God can help you do it. God can. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege tonight to take the word of God and think about the just shall live by faith. I praise your name and thank you, Lord, for the reality of the word, the truth of it, the sealing of it to our hearts, how you work so we can believe in Jesus. And Father, that salvation is of the Lord. And Father, that you seal it to our hearts. We believed it. You saved us, justified us. Now you said the just shall live by faith. I pray tonight, Lord, somebody in this house that they're wrestling with their own salvation. They're struggling about really being saved. They need to come and just yield it all to God and realize you can't lie. Just take you at your word and believe you and trust you. Be saved. These others here tonight never been saved. They may have made professions, but they've never been saved. And the Holy Ghost speaking to the heart, dealing with them. I pray, God, you'd help them. Step by faith and believe. I pray tonight, Lord, we realize it's not by works, it's by the faith in Jesus Christ. Help us, God, now, no matter what our situations are, that we'll walk by faith and trust God. I pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.